I'm Mr. Pink from Modern Synthesist, and this episode of the podcast was actually produced for video, so it might be a little strange to listen to in audio format, but in the interest of completeness, I'm going to post it up, and if you want to see the video version, please check out the Modern Synthesist YouTube channel. This is the Tyranid Creature Conference, a conversation I had with High Fleet Hydra and High Fleet Moloch, otherwise known as Simon and Marco, about Tyranid design. I hope you enjoy it.
For this episode, we wanted to talk about Tyranid design, and in our previous Tyranid design episode, we kind of went through the history of the Tyranid line. So today I wanted to focus more on the current state of affairs for Tyranids, and we've kind of compared some notes, and we're each going to review three different kits from the current line and kind of talk about what we like about them and kind of talk about what we would like to revise about them if we had the chance and go from there. But before we get into that, I wanted, because before there was a lot of Brother Pink and I talking about our ideas on Tyranid design, but let's hear you guys. Did one of you want to start just talking about like your ideas of what is Tyranid design for you and then kind of where it came from and where you see it now?
Do you have a soapbox?
I can get you. You know, I think I've got a soapbox around here somewhere. Just give me a second and I'll assemble it for you.
Yeah, throw it across the ocean, please.
Ready? You ready?
Yes.
Here we go. Get it. Go for it.
Got it. Yep. Okay. Tyranid design. I think we all agree that it used to be very crazy, very diverse, and much more varied.
Yeah.
And as Games Workshop has done with many lines, it all got very streamlined over the years, and the different creatures got more similar. And so they all look pretty much the same these days, with the advantage that the whole range is coherent, which I think was the main big goal in the studio when designing it. But of course, you have to ask if the previous concept of creatures being fused from many design elements is still properly portrayed when they are so similar. I remember many years ago that Jess Goodwin once said to the question why the Tyranids all have hooves. Well, they have hooves because they're amalgamation of different creatures like insects, mammals, reptiles, and so they have hooves to show that it's not just one kind of creature, but it's everything fused together.
Mm-hmm. And always evolving.
Yeah, exactly. And the variety has become, in my mind, in my view, less and less over the years. The most obvious part is the Tyranids, to me, all seem to have the same face. The sad thing for me is there are many, many elements I love about the range, and I think we will discuss many of them.
Yeah.
But with the design way they have gone, they look less horrific to me, look less scary to me, less terrifying, and just more like toys, which is a pity. I think the range could be better.
I think that's one of the basic things that still bother me, and I sort of always looked for a way to make it different, are the heads. Because when you look at something, you always go for the face first. It's boldly made in the alien design. What's the crazy things about aliens from the movie Aliens? They have no eyes. And that's what makes them scary. You look at their face, try it. You're looking for the eyes, basically. And there are no. And that's the first nanosecond where your subconscious realizes something's wrong with that. And when you look at the Tyranids, you look in their eyes, and they have eyes. That's the, and they have they have two eyes, mm-hmm. and that's the main problem, because the similarity to the human face is already there. So everything's from there. Just it can be the Joker, or it can be a Carnifex grinning at you. It's basically the same.
I would even say it's even worse, because we are reading the Tyranid faces as human faces, which they aren't. Yeah. We are reading a mimic.
Back in the day when the third edition line came out, I remember the Tyrant and the Carnifex, they both had that closed mouth with the bared fangs. And I guess it was supposed to look like a shark. It was supposed to look like bared fangs, but it didn't really work. And something I've noticed since then, every single Tyranid sculpt created since third edition, wide open mouth.
It's true.
We don't have any closed mouth Tyranids.
No. And that's a point where I think it's not wide open. it's always just wide enough for the tongue to stick out, but it's never been like a crazy open mouth, like beyond the possibility of a human jaw would be.
Right. I was just going to say that, Simon, you mentioned that Tyranids have two eyes, and that's not very alien. You were talking about the kind of horror of the Geiger alien, being that it has no eyes. And you've done a number of Tyranids in your time that kind of played with this and took the face more alien, I would say. And one of the ways that you've done it very effectively is with insect
small
eyes.
Small round eyes. First of all, if you want to redo that, you just take your average Stabilo fineliner or any pen of that sort and rip out the part that paints, and it will leave you with a tiny round circle you can stamp into the green stuff, and there you go. So I dubbed for round eyes because that's not the shape we are used to. It's closer to a spider's eye. And multiple eyes all over the place, as spiders have. And what's more creepy than zooming into the face on a spider?
And it's something that you've done on a number of different Tyranids. Was this a Tervagon?
That was pre-Tervagon.
You can see here that you have those same, they're not compound eyes. I wish I knew what those eyes are called, like little tiny beady eyes that you said are easily stamped out with like the end of a pen tip. So instead of having one big eye that you would like identify as a more humanoid eye or a more reptilian eye, it looks more like an insect thing. It looks kind of like, the compound or the different eyes that spiders have, the multiple eyes. And it immediately makes Tyranids more alien.
And that Tervagon face or head is a perfect example that when does the jaw go more open than it's supposed to. Because if I recall it correctly, I used the Carnifex head that has the bioplasma in the mouth.
Yes.
If you cut away the bioplasma, you have this screaming jaw, not this like...
Absolutely.
Yeah, because it's so wide. It's like, so we're talking about non-human looking heads. Here's another terrifying creation by Simon. Is that the head?
Yes. It actually uses the backpack things from the Space Marines.
Nice.
The points for turning Space Marines into Tyranids. I love you. So yeah, this was your parasite of, Doom of Malantai?
Yes.
Ripping the soul out of the body of a guardsman?
Yeah.
What a perfect model.
Sorry, I haven't seen it in like
10 years or something.
And tell me about this weird tau head in here.
That's not a tau head. It's basically an experiment I made. I used a skull, and as the there are different sizes of skulls all over the kits, and that was a pretty tiny skull, and it felt like it actually has a body. It's supposed to be like a baby thing, like turning this baby horror thing around.
So that's the creature's head, and the thing up top is just an organ, or what?
I don't know.
That's the best kind of horror. Unanswered questions.
It felt a little bit empty in the middle part, and you can see there it has tiny arms grabbing the tentacles. And it felt like just if there would have been just tentacles coming from the torso, it would have been empty. And I just tried to sculpt sort of a face on a skull, and that was what happened afterwards.
Wow!
And I sculpted a tiny body for it and stuck it into the tentacles. And
really?
Yeah, the picture is not that good, but in real life you can see there's a little thing clinging to the tentacle.
I'm a fanboy when I see it again. Yeah, so nice.
Thanks. I think it's the most weird thing I've ever done.
It's very weird, and I love it. But I think this was... Oh my god, this was from a Warp Shadow contest? I don't remember this.
I think so, yeah, you're right.
The Ambassador, Cult Liaison, and Medium from the Astropath.
It's so nice, it's beautiful.
Damn, and like this is a very good example of super alien. There are weird spider eyes on it. There's no mouth. There's freaky tentacles. This nasty number is probably as gross as I can remember, which is a Devour Effects or a DACA. Oh, is it DACA Tyrant? I don't know. That Hydra created, where it like rips open its whole chest and there's a devourer in there. And the mouth is just this tentacled, fleshy, toothy maw. So yeah, this is a good example of how horrific Tyranids can get.
Angry German jaw.
And was there any other points that you wanted to note, Marco, about like general Tyranid design before we moved on to the rest of the episode?
Well, besides the design, the point that I'm interested in is that Tyranids generally used to be portrayed as being creatures that could come from a horror movie.
Yes.
And these days, for me, they are looking more like monsters which kill you, yeah. But the horror element of gene fusing and different creatures fused into another and like things like mind slaves that yes. used to be around. These things are not at the foreground of the Tyranid theme anymore, and I miss that. I really, really do.
And it's interesting because I think, I don't know if you noted it or if Jess noted it, someone has mentioned that back in the day when Jess was creating the Lictor concept, he based it on a rubber-suited horror monster. He based it on the creature from the Black Lagoon, I think?
The movie is called Metaluna 4. Exactly.
Oh, this is it?
Yep.
Oh, interesting. So you can see kind of the big brain head structure. There's some Absolutely. Claws there. And and the kind of like carapace plates in here.
Yep.
Ooh. So if you look up the creature from Metaluna 4, or just Metaluna, that's Metaluna mutant. It's a very kind of 50s sci-fi looking thing with a big alien brain and some kind of beady eyes and a weird kind of chitinous growth over where its mouth should be and some chitinous growth along its body. But someone has, I don't know if someone repainted it or something, but someone did a version of it that where they painted it a little less 50s sci-fi and it looks really friggin' scary.
And there you can again see how much a face makes a difference. Yes, the arms have another set of, he has basically two elbows, which can be really funny.
Yeah.
But when you look at the face, he has, in no way human eyes. They're just big and round, and he has no nose, no mouth.
Yeah.
Nothing. And
the eyes are empty. The eyes are so empty.
Yeah, no pupils.
Yeah. So,
totally soulless eyes.
Marco, you were talking about mind slaves, and I have some of your mind slaves here that you did back in the day.
Yes.
Using Catechin models and Imperial Guard models and attaching, the adrenal gland biomorph to the back of their heads? And then you kind of made some claws on there and some tentacles?
Yes, exactly. That's it. I just feel them as Termagoths. Not many people know these days that this used to be a viable unit in a Tyranid army back in second edition. In the White Dwarf army, this Tyranids, the first one that ever came out.
The White Dwarf list.
After Rogue Trader, you could field Mind Slaves. First off, it's obviously a science fiction horror trope, like from Body Snatchers and all these old movies.
Yeah.
So it's a horrific idea that a parasite is commanding you.
Mm-hmm.
And second, I think, at the army level, at the tabletop level, just imagine the Imperial Guard army having to fight the Tyranids, and the first wave of the army coming through the fog or something is their former comrades.
And what was the bit that you had on their backs?
It's just green stuff.
So you sculpted that?
A friend of mine did it, actually. I didn't.
Marco, are you afraid of green stuff?
Yes.
Terrified. You know, it's really not that hard. Everyone's afraid of green stuff when they get started, but that's fine. You're allowed to be. Let's start the formal proceedings. You know this is the formal proceedings because I have a piece of paper. So though, since Brother Pink, Craig, is not here with us today because the realities of talking with people in Canada and in Germany and in Japan when two of those people have small children, not going to happen. So he is with us in the form of this list of questions that he's sent through.
Good. Ooh.
So first, these are questions for the both of you, and I'll see if I can come up with something too. Question the first. If you could bring back an old pewter Tyranid model for a limited release, you know how Games Workshop does these limited releases now of pewter models? Made to order, I think is what they call it. If you could bring back any old pewter Tyranid model for a made to order limited release, what would you choose? Simon.
Second edition Zonthrope.
Damn! The Sunflower!
Yes.
The big head? Yes.
I still have one of these kicking around OVP because I always dreamt of making a bunch of walking zoanthropes on modern torsos. But that is just cool. It's just perfect. Because yes, it has a face, which can be easily changed, but that it's not like it doesn't have a brain. It's this flat disc like thing.
Yeah.
That is the brain though, right? It's a big giant disc like brain.
Of course it's a brain, but it doesn't look like ripped from a human body and stuck onto a tunic.
But the zoanthrope has these nice ugly rubber claws as hands. It's these absurdly rubbery, weird claw like appendages.
Here's a picture of the zoanthrope that Simon's talking about. If you're not familiar with the second edition zoanthrope, Jesus Christ, I just realized. Is this like one of the first instances of that ribbing that we see now, like the gill structures? You can see that on the head, it's got like the gill structures, and on the legs, it's got them. I love this model so much.
It's, as I said, it's obviously a brain, and it obviously serves a purpose. It, not for thinking, but for something else. And I think it works still. The design is still valid. Well, it doesn't need those mandibles, but other than that, it's cool.
All right. So, Marco, if you could pick one old metal Tyranid to bring back, what would it be?
Yeah. I would really like to see the original OG Gangster, first ever Tyranid model re-released that was done. It was the first Tyranid Warrior.
The Protonid?
Rogue Trader days. I don't think you will find it on the internet.
Yeah, it's the Proto-Tyranid, isn't it? The one that's like leaned over and is like stretched out?
Yes, that's it.
Don't think I will find it on the internet. It's like you don't know I'm a millennial. Come on, buddy. This guy?
Yes, this guy.
As this very adequately puts it, the rarest of them all. The unreleased Proto-Tyranid.
I've never seen one for real. Never, ever.
Look at the flesh borer. It still looks the same.
Yeah, it's like a legit flesh bore. This is like one of the, you know what? The crazy thing in our last Tyranid design episode, Brother Pink, he's like, do you think that the flesh bore started off as a flesh bolter? I'm like, I never thought of that. But back in the day, that's what like Games Workshop would do, right? So yeah, you can see this thing's got a flesh bore. So the confusing thing about it is that you look at this thing and it kind of looks like a termagant because it's leaned over. Yep. And it's got this flesh bore like thing.
Nick, the termagants were done after this example.
Yeah.
Tyranid warriors, the termagants then came later.
Yeah. But what I wanted to mention was that because this thing looks like a termagant, I always assumed that this thing was termagant size, but this thing, like you said, Marco, it was like a warrior size. Like it was a big model.
Exactly.
Like that looks like a 40 millimeter base or something like that on this thing. So it was like a Tyranid warrior size model.
It might look goofy in the first place, but when you look at how well executed the design is, that the model explains how it's supposed to work. You see the folded leg.
Yeah.
The kind of every Tyranid model nowadays is standing on 2 feet. And this one looks like it's actually moving quick.
Yeah, it looks like it's running. It's got the hooves that we know and love.
It looks to move.
Yep.
That's the difference, I think.
So I don't know that it would sell that well. I don't know if it would just be us Tyranid nerds who bought it. But if we brought that back, that would be pretty cool, Marco. That's a good choice.
Yeah. If I had to decide a different model, of course, it would be the infamous Grabber Slasher.
I think that when we did this last time,
Brother Pink would pick that.
Brother Pink asked me what my favorite model from Rogue Trader was, and this is what I picked. This weird messed up thing that was partially a squig that they just repurposed and said, oh no, this is Tyranid now. It's got this weird hand on its head. It's got like an orcish squiggish face in the middle of its body, and it's got these two sticky outy horn things at the bottom for no good reason.
No, it's all explained. First off, it's made by from orc DNA, so it's an orc.
It is.
Number two, it's an assassin like the Lictor. It was actually the proto-Lictor.
I remember this assassin fluff, yes.
Exactly. And the head is, it grabs your head and punches your throat with a thorn.
That is really gross.
It grabs you and it slashes you. It's a grabber slasher.
If it wouldn't have that weird that weird goofy face, it would be even more believable.
Absolutely.
But that's absolutely the 80s, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like really from a bad 80s horror movie, like Reanimator or something, which is a good movie, of course, but it just looks so much like it sprang out of a really, really bad, cheap movie.
Okay, so Marco, you cheated and you got two different options.
Yes.
Can you guess what my one choice would be if one thing was brought back?
Yeah, Screamer Killer.
Thank you. You're right. The Screamer Killer Carnifex. You can see how inspiring this model is by the fact that so many people have tried to replicate it and do versions of it. I love this version. Anyway, classic Screamer Killer Carnifex. This was the Tyranid that sold me on Tyranids. And of course, I've done my own version of this with some claws sculpted by Bits of Box. But yeah, I would love it if they re-released the Screamer Killer Carnifex. That would be amazing.
Can you explain how you imagine it to strike with the arms?
How it strikes? No. Nah, yes. Nah.
Because they can't.
No. Well, they can, but you have to be at the exact right distance. If you're inside of it, well, I guess at that point, it just like, well, on the inside, it has like serrated edges. So maybe it gets its arms around you and it just does this and like saws you to death.
No question. I mean, the face is awesome.
Oh God, here's the original. I think, Marco, do you know if this was sculpted by Jess?
Yes, it was.
That's why I love it so much.
Classic Jess cut, of course.
Yes, the face, I think Brother Pink described it as the face that someone would make if they were punched so many times that their face was punched back into their body. But there's like classic Tyranid hallmarks here. Like you've got like the hooves.
Yeah.
It's got that cool armor plates leading down to the hoof, which we don't really do anymore, but I love. And I love replicating that on models. It's got the thigh plates, which we know and love now. It's got the crotch piece, which is a good time. It's got the head carapace, although that looks more like a Gene Stealer head than a Tyranid head.
Which is a great I never noticed that.
Is that Simon?
And what I really like is that it has the second edition Tyranid Warrior design of this carapace torso.
The rib cage. It's like got that Tyranid Warrior rib cage thing where like they had the exposed organs and you put the rib cage piece onto it.
Yeah, that was the best part.
Yeah, and you can kind of see that it's got that sort of rib cage setup in here. Sorry, next question. Thanks, Simon. Okay. Should Tyranids have special characters? What makes Tyranid special characters interesting? Should they have them? Should they not have them? Marco, you first this time.
Damn. I think the approach to name famous creatures was a good one, actually. Like Old One Eye as the Moby Dick of the Tyranid Kingdom, as a legendary creature, or the Lictor Assassin Death Leaper as a specialized Lictor variant that became infamous from the human perspective or our perspective. It was a good idea to not just have a character, because characters just don't fit the swarm, but to have us see something special in the horde.
Nice.
So I think they were on the right track with that.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Simon, what do you think?
Me too. When you look at the thing that Tyranids are supposed to be, like this hyper quick evolving race that finds to every possible problem a different solution, like, oh, we found this problem, we need to brew up a certain, you know, the lock key principle, so yeah, they always find the right key. So as coming from that direction, I think there shouldn't be two Tyranid armies looking the same, because the threat is always different, and therefore they will have the most exotic answers to the most exotic questions, and that probably leads thinking about evolution into something like an evolution dead end, if you want to. So a highly specialized troop that fits just for one solution, like,
interesting,
for example, the Melanthrope,
yeah,
or the Doom of Melantai, or yeah, the Death Leaper, or something like that. It's something very, 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 very specific tool for a very specific problem, and that of course would be named by the humans. And I like Marco's approach that the swarm doesn't need a character from its own, but it would get a name, you know, from the humans, or the prey races.
Yeah.
And
I like what you said there, Simon, about, I think it's a confluence of like both your guys' ideas, that it's these special character Tyranids are, they're an evolutionary dead end, that particular high fleet has encountered this particular problem and it's evolved this specific Tyranid to solve that problem. And I was going to say that my answer to this question is no, that when I remember when we first got Red Terror and we first got Old One Eye, I thought they were cool, but they didn't really make sense for me. I'm like, why do Tyranids have named characters? This makes no sense. But I really like that explanation for them, that it's an evolutionary dead end of this particular high fleet because it encountered this particular thing. And I think that's a much better fluff basis for them. Of course, that they're getting named by humans. I love that part. But I really like that idea that, and as a jumping off point for people who are doing Tyranids now and who are trying to find inspiration to create their own Tyranids, you should absolutely convert your Tyranids, and then you should create fluff about what kind of adversaries they've encountered and why they've evolved this way. Like, we don't have the biomorph tables or whatever that we used to have, but you could create like a super armored tyrant if that's what moves you, and be like, my opinion about conversions is you should do them for you and not for rules. Give your tyrant all the friggin' armor plates on the planet. It's still gonna have a shitty save or whatever, or the normal save, but you have the fluff that they encountered the Tau, and the Tau were like shooting the shit out of them with railguns until these Tyranids evolved like super armor plating.
All humans and our brains are pattern matching engines. We all look for structures, for rhythm, for patterns. And if the rules suggest a way how a model would look, people will invent ways to make it look like this. And I think it would be better if the rules would encourage more creativity. I still fondly remember the mutable genus rules we had and the possibilities we had to get creative with it. I still miss the leaping warriors, for example. I would love the idea of warriors being leaping and much deadlier than they are now, walking, stumbling to their target.
Good answers. Question 3. If you could have a Tyranid bit, any Tyranid bit reproduced in real world scale, what would you pick?
I think what I would love to see would be a flesh borer.
Ooh, yeah.
Because
iconic, I think, Tyranid gun.
Yeah, and when you, I don't know if the fluff for the weapons are still in the books, but they used to be, and when they were, this was like the most creepy design, weapon wise. Like, this is not a weapon per se, but it's, there's breathing in there and something's crawling and something's jumping and shooting, or not shooting but being shot. And seeing a flash borer and ammunition, that would be awesome in real life, like having that in big and in all the details. I think there's so much creepy horror aspect in this one gun.
Yeah, because it fires borer beetles, right?
Yeah.
They enter your body and eat you from the inside.
That is gross. I've got a little bit of fascination with flesh borers as well. I think it's because they were the Tyranid gun that were strength 4, and strength 4 is what you needed for killing stuff. There we go. So we got an old school flesh borer there, and it's got that iconic tail, like the iconic like curving tail thing.
Yeah, that tail thing really reminds me of Lady Beetle larvae.
These guys?
Yes. Yep. Look at the tail.
Ooh, yeah. You know what? This reminds me of one of the artists on Instagram. He paints his Tyranids in this color scheme. Ah, so when you're looking at the flesh borer tail, this is what you're seeing.
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty gross.
It is.
All right, Marco, what's your real-world Tyranid bit?
My answer's simpler. I just would really love to have a life-sized Lictor head as a bust.
Damn, that's a good choice. Like, which generation? What are we talking?
If I ever get dirty, filthy, stinking rich, I will commission you both or Simon to just sculpt a life-sized Lictor head.
You will be commissioning Simon because he's the good sculptor.
Of course, I would choose the original Jess Goodwin sketch.
So yeah, this Lictor sketch, you'd like to have that head reproduced.
Absolutely.
Nice. I think that's a good choice.
And I think if you look at the sketch, in contrast to what Simon said before, there is a face, but the face is so well drawn that you really have the creepy alien intelligence when you look at it.
You're right. It has sort of a face, but, and I think that's where the horror starts. It gives you enough similarities to a human face to sort of make a connection, and then it leaves you with, oh, there are similarities, but yes, not enough, so it's alien.
And the stare is so intense. Just has this intense eye-locking stare and fixes you, and you know you're toast. You're gone.
You're done. Speaking of amazing lictor busts that you could pay people to make from you. Oh, look at this!
Oh,
it's a pretty sexy lictor head. I showed this recently to my wife. I don't know what the situation was, but she was like, "Simon sculpted that?" I'm like, "Yes." She's like, "How much of that is an original model?" I'm like, "None of it." She's like, "Wait, he sculpted this part?" I'm like, "Yeah." "Wait, he sculpted this part?" Look at these tentacles. Look at this shit.
So great.
And this thing is small.
I haven't seen all these pictures like in maybe 10 years. And seeing it all with fresh eyes makes it even better. Much better, actually.
Yeah.
It's like I'm blown away.
The piece that I would like reproduced in real life is this really weird Carnifex bit. And I don't even know if I can find a picture of it because it's so random. But it's the weird Y bit on the Carnifex sprue. I don't even know what it's supposed to be.
But why do you want it?
I just think it's cool. Every time I have a Carnifex kit, I look at that bit and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to save this bit for something good. And I don't really know why I do it.
Do you have any idea what it's meant to be?
It looks like some kind of weird crotch piece, but I've seen it on the forehead of Carnifexes before. Like it's some kind of weird horn. Okay. So I've used it as like a kind of ceremonial rattle on my crude priest guy.
Nice.
It's this bit here. I don't know what it is. Like, it looks like it could be like weird mandibles for something. This is not a good picture of it. You can kind of see the structure here.
Yep,
but I think I've seen it mounted on the forehead of Carnifexes before, like an enhanced senses thing or like some weird kind of, I don't know, growth out of the skull. But I can't explain it. I just love the bit so much. And if I had a giant one, I would just mount it on the wall and I'd just be like, ah, look at that. Resplendent.
Good answer.
Okay. Next question. If you could have a Tyranid weapon grafted to your body, what would it be? Did I mention my brother's messed up?
Yes.
Peter tentacles.
Wow.
I'm not surprised you chose tentacles. Marco, if you could have a Tyranid weapon grafted to your body, what would it be?
Easy. The mind of a zoanthrope.
Oh, but that would be really gross. You'd have like this big distended face head thing.
Yes, and my ego would be so big that I wouldn't fit through a door.
Wait, okay, so the mind of a zoanthrope. Which zoanthrope? Pick the edition.
Number 3, third edition.
Third edition?
Yes.
So we're talking the Eldar-inspired one.
Exactly. It was the most elegant and streamlined, I think.
So what would you do with your zoanthrope weapon grafted to your...
I would blast my enemies and mind control my allies.
You would mind control your allies? They're not very good allies if you have to mind control them. But
they all want to betray me, my allies. I want to mind control them all.
Okay, let's see.
He would use that device to slave us into the basement to sculpt for him stuff.
I would. Oh, yes, I would.
So this is what you were looking for. This is actually a very good looking head. It's not quite as imposing as the other one. It is very streamlined, as you say.
But truth be told, the latest sculpts are superior. Of course, they are. But I think it's a nice sculpt. I like it.
Okay.
The funny thing is, the head under the crest was fully sculpted, so you could field it without the carapace.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Simon, if you could graft a Tyranid weapon to your body, what would it be?
Feeder tentacles.
Oh, right, the feeder tentacles. And what would you do with them?
I'm not
telling. Make love.
Make love, not war.
Love and tentacles, as we say.
Love and tentacles. Loving tentacles. No, seriously, I have a radio face, and some tentacles wouldn't change that.
A radio? I was like, radio face? What are you talking about? A face for radio. Oh, come on, you're pretty handsome. Let's see if I can.
So, unique? What's the choice?
So for me, I wanted to say that I was going to go with, I don't know if it's really a weapon, but I've always been obsessed with the idea of flying. So I would pick big leathery Tyranid wings. But if you were being a jerk and you were like, no, that's not a weapon, that's a means of transportation, you're like, you have to pick a weapon, I would pick the old pewter venom cannon.
Okay.
Because it just, it looks so good. I mean, it would be unfortunate to have like an extra hand and have those two hands fused together to support my awesome pewter venom cannon. But it's just so sleek and so like long and pointy with a nice bayonet on the end that you can run people through with. And it was my first love for Tyranids, that tyrant with that weapon. Like Barn Strangler, who cares?
Is the tyrant the just Goodman's got?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
What?
A Jess Goodwin sculpt.
I think it is.
All right. Next question. Final question. Is there a Tyranid model that doesn't look like a Tyranid to you? This is probably a good thing to lead into our next conversation bit, but can you think of a Tyranid model that doesn't look Tyranid enough for you?
Absolutely.
Yes.
When you... Simon?
I would go with the Biovore.
The Biovore.
Yeah.
That's a bad example of what happens when you don't stick to the same face.
The mouth is closed. It has a closed mouth.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
It doesn't make it any better.
And like this paint job is rough.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
Really, what I like about the paint job is when you look at the pupils.
Are those pupils? I think those are folds in the eyes, aren't they?
I think it's squinting.
You know what? Games Workshop knows how rough this model is because there are no other pictures of it. You look at a Games Workshop model, it's like, you want to see it 360? This one, they're like, no, we're good. We're good.
But you have to admit, the claws, and it's sticking into the ground.
It's cool. I like it.
It's cool. Yeah, cool.
I like it.
Yeah. But is it $50 cool?
I was going to say $50. I didn't realize this was $50. Oh, I haven't bought a Viovore since second edition.
It's so ridiculous.
Marco, what's a Tyranid model that doesn't look Tyranid to you?
I have two ideas. First off,
this shit.
And you know, these are my models. I still have them.
You have these?
This is my swarm, yeah.
Damn, they're ugly. But I think for this question, what the hell is this? I've never seen this before. Look at this shit. This weird, crude action.
Wow.
What is this all about? Anyway, sorry. I think for this question, Brother Pink was looking for a current Tyranid model that doesn't look Tyranid to you. Do you have a current model that you would pick?
Okay, let me think. Give me a second. You know what the answer is? I don't, because they all look so similar.
Yeah. You're right. They do all look very similar. Like, if I had to pick one, I don't know why I'm saying this, but like, okay, so this thing is obviously Tyranid, but to me,
no,
it's also
no, it's
clean.
No, it's
okay.
Not.
Okay, we're going to get there. One second. We're about to go there. But it's
please
just
use
like
the 360.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'll get you a nice 360 view.
Front.
Yeah.
Look at that from the front.
Yeah.
Oh, from front. There. That's not, I don't know what it is, but it's those Kinder Surprise.
there's the egg right there.
Yeah.
It's clearly using Tyranid design elements. It's clearly a Tyranid, but everything looks so clean.
Yeah.
And not in a like clean, highly detailed way, just in a simple way.
We talked about brains.
Yeah.
Looking not human brains. Oh, look, it has three human brains
six.
On each side. Right. Yeah.
It's basically six shit.
Yes. This is the most horrible
basically
Tyranid
shit.
I've ever
seen. I forgot about that. So it's just, honestly, it looks like if Fisher Price made a Tyranid. Fisher Price is like the toy company. And like big things, simple details, this is what I see.
That's right.
Boop. All right, so maybe this is a good jumping off point to what we're supposed to be discussing, because the questions are done. I'm going to do a late show talk show host thing.
Did it.
We're done.
Good
you
job.
Did it. All right, on to the real meat of what we wanted to talk about today. So we wanted to talk about Tyranid design and kind of where the current state of Tyranid design is at and how it's gotten close, and we're very lucky in that we've got a buttload of Tyranid monstrous creatures in plastic to convert with, to repurpose, but how it could go a little further. To kind of give some examples of how you could take like the existing Tyranid models and kind of bring them a little bit further, I have compiled some models that the three of us have made to kind of show that what can be done with a simple conversion or with the addition of some bits to make things a little different. Let's start with Marco. You're up first. So I have an example here of when the Trigon came out, you converted your Trigon. The existing Tyranid Trigon is a very upright, kind of standing in one place model. However, this is supposed to be a snake that's supposed to like dig through the ground and surprise people. And the existing model doesn't look that snake-like. So I have some pictures here of a Trigon that you converted that's slithering forward towards its prey. Very much looks like it's springing towards them and about to like attack them. So do you want to say a bit about this work you did?
Well, you pretty much said it all already. I think if Simon is the king of faces, I might be the king of action poses.
Yeah.
Many models, especially in the Tyranid range, just as Simon said before, stand upright and have a 90 degree angle. When going for an exciting dynamic pose, I hate 90 degree angles. You know, our world commonplace is filled with 90 degree angles every day. Everything around us is boxy, and boxy looks static. Mm-hmm. It looks solid, it looks static, it looks unmoving and essentially boring. And when I try to get a dynamic pose, as the Trigon should have in my view, I always try to avoid 90 degree angles in the pose. And you can see a lot of diagonals going through the model and a lot of lines flowing onto the target, essentially.
Yeah, you can see the talons are tracking exactly towards the target, the running claws are coming in towards it.
Exactly. And I think the Trigon is a good example of the classic model looked kind of okay. I mean, when it came out, it was imposing a snake rearing up and threatening. But if you've seen the same model time and time again, and it's always the same kind of standing threatening pose, it just gets boring and unthreatening. Yep. And no creature ever should be boring and unthreatening.
I agree.
I never get tired looking at that snake body.
Yeah.
From above.
This one?
It has so much the slithering. Slithering was invented. The word was invented for this pose.
Why did you give it running claws?
For a couple of reasons. First off, I think 7 talons are okay for me in my mind.
Yeah.
But I cannot really imagine 7 talons being solid enough to just destroy a tank,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah.
And the image of this gigantic creature just is so much better for me with the claws.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks for walking us through this, Marco, how you kind of improved on the Trigon to make it a little more dynamic and a lot more threatening. Simon, do you want to talk about something you did actually a long time ago?
Oh. Yeah.
The Odonata?
Yeah. That was first the flyer rules were introduced into Warhammer 40K.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an upcoming apocalypse game,
yep,
with flyer rules included. And I wanted to have a flyer for my Tyranid army. And so we, back in the days on Warp Shadow, we kind of discussed how flying Tyranid would be believable. I cannot imagine a Tyranid warrior with wings being as fast as an airplane. So I tried to cut down all the things that would be in the way, like having those fins on the back.
Yeah.
They were gone. The neck was gone. So I tried to make it point forward,
yeah,
and be as streamlined as possible.
Yeah.
Being as aerodynamic as much as I could. And yeah, I used Balrog wings because they were thinner and they were flat.
Yep. And, oh, flat. Nice.
To have more of that, airplane feel to it.
Yes.
And another thing I did was it doesn't have legs of,
yep,
any kind. It cannot land. It probably is hanging with its long tail somewhere in the big fleet, but yes. It doesn't land anywhere. And the tail, of course, gives the model length to
to counterweight the wings.
Yeah, yeah, to counterweight that, and then I try to imagine some sort of engines that would boost it so fast, and that's what I used those spitters.
Yep, death spitters.
Death spitters, and yeah. Just having some sort of bioplasma reactor thing going on the back. So it's not just floating on air, but being pushed forward on its own.
Got some bioplasma jet engines.
Yeah.
Cool.
And finally, having those reverse scythe tail lungs. So if it would fly down, those could kind of stretch out and... kill something by passing by.
Yep, it could kind of hook them. But,
yeah, or slash them or whatever. But being streamlined at the same time. And the final thing was I tried to... Odonata is the Latin word for dragonfly.
So you called it an Odonata. Where'd you get the inspiration for the name?
I was looking at the Animal Kingdom looking for... something that kind of in its silhouette would work as a very agile and still very effective flyer. And a dragonfly can be either really quick and very mobile at the same time. And if you look at the model I made from above, it looks like a dragonfly. Very long tail.
Oh, yeah.
It has just two wings, but, four wings would be... unbelievable in that size. It would stand against the I'm having an airplane Tyranid here.
Yeah.
Idea.
Definitely looks like an airplane Tyranid.
Yeah.
It's the only one I ever saw, I think, and it's just perfect. I love it.
Thanks. And if you look at the mouth, would at an airplane you would have like the air intake.
Yes.
And that's what I wanted to have in the mouth. And the idea was that while, this thing is flying, it's making the screams, like sowing terror into the infantry it's flying above, like the German airplanes in, World War One, the Stuka, it was World War Two, which made those screaming sounds on purpose.
Oh, damn.
And that's... there are things you cannot show in a model. You cannot always show how it's working in a model, but you can show it in the base, and therefore you have this little guardsman screaming in terror, ducking for cover.
Yeah.
And while he's hiding, he's being shot in the back by some fine fist.
Opportunistic Tyranid.
Yes.
Nice.
Another lesson learned from Mr. Schulzer.
Oh, the scenic bases. Tell the story. Nice. Thanks, Simon, for taking us through how you improved on the flying. Well, I say you improved on the flying Tyranid design, but you created this before the flying Tyranids were ever released. The Odonats, the Hive Crone and the Harpy, I guess it's called.
Yeah.
Those kind of releases. But you can see that if I were to pick a flying Tyranid, this is the kind of flying Tyranid I would want. One with jet engines so that it moved quickly. It was very streamlined. Not bulky, very small. It's got its weapons like trained really close to its body. I love it.
The another thought was that rules wise, the airplanes always had very thin and brittle armor, like they were armor 10, which could be pierced by bolter fire.
Yeah,
and therefore something that flies doesn't need heavy armor plates because that's the opposite of aerodynamic.
It moves fast.
I don't want to have a bumblebee.
Yeah, the armor is the speed. You're right, bumblebee. This does not look like a bumblebee, but the current flyers that we have look a little more like bumblebees. I had my own take on a gun beast, a Tyranid gun beast. So the idea of like an exocrine or something like that. I've done this a couple of times for Marco, mostly. redesigning the Exocrine to be like a less slugified version with some big guns on its back. I also did a smaller Dactylus for Marco. And then more recently, I took the existing Exocrine kit and converted it into a larger Dactylus gun beast with some proper sized gun barrels on its back and a kind of like anchoring tail, had a bunch of shielding on the front of the model for the idea that it was like walking into fire, but defending itself and defending its ammo while it was doing so, and then firing its giant cannons. I wanted to portray the idea of a gun beast Tyranid as being less mobile, not like nimble and running around on its legs, but rather inching forward slowly, bringing together its armor plates to defend it as it fired off like artillery salvos. Go ahead.
I'm not sure if you're aware of that, but I think with your desluggification thing, you of all of us three had probably the biggest impact on the current Tyranid design line. I'm not sure if you're aware of that. But
what do you mean?
You desluggified those, and Games Workshop, I don't want to say they copied you, because that's not the right way to describe it. Yours looks so awesome, and they did something, well, different. And you invented those claws into the ground, and they copied those concepts as well.
Did they? No, I didn't invent this. Roberto Cirillo invented this.
But you made it into a model.
I guess, yeah. But it was based on his concept sketches that he did.
After the Carnifex and after the Turvagon, you had the biggest impact.
Thanks. When I was doing this, I very much took inspiration from Games Workshop got a concept artist to do a bunch of concepts for Tyranids, and he came up with this concept for an Exocrine. Well, I guess it was a concept for a Biovore, but with like the talons dug in, the claws dug in, it looked like it had a tail that dug into the ground as well. So that's very much what I took as my inspiration for.
I think those are its feet that are dug in, and you made the tail dug in.
I guess, I saw here, like along its tail, it looks like it has claws that dig into the ground.
No, it doesn't.
Nope.
Oh, well, I don't know.
You invented something, Nick. Take it.
Okay. Well, yeah, I came up with this idea of it anchors itself with its tail. Like it slams its tail down, anchors itself into the ground with the claws. And then that's part of the stuff that braces it when it's firing its primary weapon. And also the idea of using these kind of flesh hooks to anchor itself into the ground. Did you do that?
That's so cool.
It's still like,
I hear you,
flesh hooks shooting it into the ground.
Yeah, I always assumed those were in his sketches, but they're really not.
Nope.
I don't know if they were in other sketches, but apparently I came up with a thing.
Yep.
The Dactylus design I kind of evolved for Marco from a Carnifex angle, and then I was able to take it into the large version for the current Exocrine size one. So yeah, this is kind of my vision for gun beasts, that they're very slow, they're very purposeful, they've got kind of a wall of armor to defend them, but then once they get into range, they just lay down a withering hail of gunfire. So we just finished talking about how I reinterpreted gun beasts. Marco, I know that gun beasts are something that's very near and dear to your heart, that you've had some very strong feelings about Tyranid gun beasts over the years. Did you want to start talking about redesign with the Exocrine?
Well, at first, I think the model is a step in the right direction. If we look at the Tyrannofex, which is also all about sporting a big fat gun, this beast at least evolved into the big fat gun being the main thing about it.
Yeah.
And the whole body structure with the heavy beast, the big carapace, the big fucking gun, it's all stooped and down to the ground. It's going in the right direction, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
So there's a lot of good to say about it. I really like the big clawed arms, which maybe could be a bit more used for anchoring into the ground. But the model had to suffice for two different kits, so I think the big fat arms leaning down are also good.
Yeah.
After that, I think there are quite a couple of things I would like to see improved on the kit. First off, the head is, well, let's not talk about the head anymore. I think we said all about it. I mean, the beast should all be about the gun. What about the weird area of biotargeters sticking out instead of a head?
It's got weird eyes on the barrels.
Yeah, it's not enough for me.
Looking sideways, how are they going to see where they're shooting at?
They're seeing the next target sight when it pivots into angle and shoots at that one.
Especially this head should be an area of bio lenses, targeting mechanisms, and just alien gribbliness and not just the grinning termagant. I think the gun would look better if it was a bit off-center, but it's not the big thing. It's okay. I think it's looking good enough.
Off-center, really?
Yes.
Why do you say that? I really like it on center.
It's a matter of taste, I guess. This is isn't the point I would argue about. I would argue, however, about the Seth and Talon arms. What are they for?
Oh, I forget they're there.
Yeah, but they're...
They're for cutting the bush.
Your dinner or something. I have no idea. With a Tyranid army, the whole design of the creature should be linked to its purpose. And this beast shouldn't have two ridiculous sized...
What would you put in the place of those two arms?
Either something gripping the gun, like pumping ammunition into the gun, or something more anchoring into the ground.
Yeah.
One of those things. I guess I would make the whole gun mechanism fancier. And I always like the concept of different organisms fused into one creature.
Yeah.
This comes across a little with the eyes, but not enough for me.
One of the points I really like about the Tyranifex is that its gun is supposed to fire two projectiles.
Yeah.
It fires an acid projectile first and then like a solid projectile, and the acid causes the solid projectile to explode or something like that. I really like that kind of symbiotic relationship.
Ah, I see. Of course. You're right. And last but not least, the tail is ridiculous. I have a thing about Tyranid tails for some reason. I think it was 4th edition. I don't remember now. When I still worked with the studio, where they all had these short, stubby, ridiculous dog-like tails. And you can really imagine this tail you're wagging. Like, oh, I'm happy. Look at me. It's not aliens. It's just cute. It has a cute tail.
Yeah, it does look like it's kind of like we figured out the rest of the model and then, oh, Tyranids need to have a tail.
Exactly.
So what would you do with the tail?
I would do the same that you did. I would do it long, like more dinosaur-like, and anchor it into the ground, of course. What do you think about this model, you two?
Simon?
When you look at the third picture, where you can see it from the side, like silhouette.
Yep.
It actually looks like there's a termagant sitting in a big exosuit.
Funny.
I feel it.
And so that's one point. It almost makes me feel like liking that model because it's like having two different organisms working together.
Cool. Like, that's actually a cool way of looking at it.
Good thinking.
You know what? You should take a Tyranid and put it in there. I mean, a termagant. You take it off the head. You put an actual termagant in there. Because it doesn't need brain power. It's just walking around. And then like the hive mind is telling it what to shoot.
Yeah.
having small sticky arms, like pulling some brain matter or something like that. Yeah. So that's one point. I don't mind the head too much at this one. I'm totally with Marco that there should be some sort of targeting thing going on because that's a wasted opportunity. What I really like is the basic shape of that thing, but I totally agree that in a Tyranid army, there should not be a trophied limb. Like it's something left over that didn't evolve into something useful, and those front limbs appear to be like arms on a Tyrannosaurus Rex. Like, oh yeah, they're small and tiny and they have no purpose. So that might be evolutionary thing, but you know.
I would go the other direction where I would say that you can have an atrophied limb, but it needs to be atrophied. That's not an atrophied limb. That's a little scything talon. Like I feel like if that's going to be atrophied, the scything talon needs to be really stumpy and it needs to be like webbed into itself. Like think of the current zone throat models.
Yeah, you're right.
They have tiny little talons, but they're tiny. Like they're gone almost. Yeah. They don't exist. Right.
I would totally go with Marco and stick up the big arms in the first socket, and the second socket have some sort of manipulating the weapon itself.
Yeah,
and some kind as of you did on your model, set in such a perfect way. Like, so yeah. We have this massive weapon sticking out front. What's in the back? Is it shooting its own guts or what? So
for the, I moved them up into the first spot. And then for the back, I put like some talons that dig into the ground.
You know what would be cool? To have the hands of the limbs grow into the X-sex.
Oh, yeah, the hands are the actual ammo holders.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Long spindly fingers like growing into the X-sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what Nick's old exocrine had.
I took the ammo feeds for Tyranid Monstrous Creatures, and I had one side was the Barb Strangler ammo feed with the sack, and one side was the Venom Cannon ammo feed with the tube going into the back.
Yeah, there you go. And there you have the asymmetric appearance that micro one.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. I guess one's feeding each cannon because there's two cannons there.
No. There you go. Okay, that's my take on that.
Okay.
There's so much great about this model.
Or a couple of things that I do like about this model. The bracing arms, I think, are good. I take Marco's point that they could be used to more dig into the ground, but they're solid. The cannon I like. I think that so many Tyranid cannons now are just like a tube with a hole in the end. This one seems like it's got like multiple firing ports for different kinds of ammunition.
Yeah.
The only thing that drives me crazy is why are these blades arcing upwards?
Yeah, no. Like, I was about to say that. No point.
I have this cannon because I saved it. I didn't use it on the Dactylus, and I want to use it on a different creature that I'm working on, but I would immediately flip it so that the blades are pointing downwards. Not that useful, but I guess it would look like the blades will get in the eyesight of the creature, but I'm assuming it's firing with like direction from the hive mind. And then if the blades are pointing downwards, like conceivably, if it really needed to defend itself, it could like duck and like impale someone with them.
Well, there is a point. Just remove them. There is a point, actually. If you look at the silhouette from the side and look at the vents at the top carapace, you have a line going over the model.
Yeah.
And this line goes to the tip.
Yeah, sort of. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, what I think that is, that's the notch and bead sighter.
Oh, it's like an iron sight or whatever.
Yes.
For the head that's not up there looking at it. So the high tyrant could sit back and look down the angle of the gun. Yeah, almost got it. Bam! Where should we go next? I'll go and talk about the Haruspex because the Haruspex is the other half of this kit. When you buy an Exocrine, you also get a Haruspex model.
So
the Haruspex is supposed to be this crazy assault Tyranid. I think it's supposed to be fast. And it's supposed to kind of take that red terror aspect of eating things alive. But when you take something like the Exocrine, which is supposed to be kind of like a slow and purposeful artillery Tyranid, and then you make the second kit available out of the box, this crazy gribbly assault Tyranid, it looks too chunky for its job. I've seen this thing described as like an angry bullfrog.
Yep.
Because it's got like the short legs and the big arms or whatever. And when you look at it from the top, it's just this chunky triangle and it looks super threatening on the front end, like it's all claws and tongue grabber things and crazy tentacles, which I'm not crazy about, and like it looks absolutely threatening, but overall it doesn't work for me for a Tyranid that's supposed to be quick. Like, look at the size of these legs, they're not going to get it anywhere.
Is it supposed to be quick?
What I really like about the kit is that they made tentacles. Well, if you look at the website, there's a short description. It says that it's a wild beast that's made to eat biomass in a disturbing speed.
Okay, so there is a little bit of speed there.
Yeah, but eating.
Just while eating.
The eating is slow?
He eats fast. He's a good eater.
Yes.
Like
He's a good eater.
The Haruspex is a ferocious beast created to consume biomass at a sickening pace. It can devour an entire platoon of soldiers in a matter of moments, shoveling victims after victim into its jaws without pause. Haruspex's most obvious feature is its grasping tongue that comes as part of it in... What? That comes as part of an inside-out stomach, creating three sets of jaws. It's also armed with a pair of crushing claws and has horned head specific to this monster. It can be armed with thresher scythe tail option. Okay, so it doesn't say that it's fast, but I want this thing to be fast. Like, I want it to like run up and eat you alive. So if I were to modify it, I would want to make it a lot more fast. I would probably keep the crazy open mouth thing because that's cool. It's like a Tyranid lawnmower and the crushing claws. But I actually went through my Tyranid inspiration folder and I came up with
nice
this concept that someone named Arduro came up with. I think he was on Warp Shadow.
On Daka. It was on Daka.
Oh, it was Daka? Okay. He took a Tyranid Trigon and converted it into something that I feel like this could be a better Haruspex. Like, I want the Haruspex to run fast, run into Tyranid like enemies and just like devour them alive. So take something this quick, which is a very feline kind of line, a quadrupedal creature that looks like it could move a lot faster, look more like a snake or something like that, with the kind of mouth that could eat dudes alive.
This one is meant to be a Turvigon, by the way.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I don't know. I think it could work for a Haruspex.
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally.
Well, the Haruspex was a slug, wasn't it?
It was a slug. It could deslugify it.
And it was fast back then. So you're basically you're right. It was fast. It was a fast tank killer.
Back in the day when we had the old school Tyranid slugs, there was the Haruspex, which is the fast assault spawn. Oh God, I can't remember them.
Malefactor.
Which was the transport. Exocrine was the gun beast, and then the Dactylus was the I'm throwing spores at people. So yeah, I want this to be fast. Simon, which of yours should we do first?
So Turvigon, first off, the concept is super Tyranid. Like, not wasting, you know, transportation means of any kinds, but spawning troops where they are needed on the battlefield sounds like something Tyranids would do, like not having to worry about, oh, we need units of Termagons somewhere else, so let's move them somewhere so they don't have troop transporters of some sort. But these beasts fulfill the role, I would say. So I basically love the idea of the Termagon. What I like about the model is surprisingly a bit the head, because when you look at it from the front, you hardly see any eyes. You just see that really big mouth and those horns that make it appear a little bit devilish.
It
reduces the oh, it's a human face aspect by far. And I'm a sucker for long tongues, so I like that long tongue as well.
Yes,
and mandibles. And mandibles. So this head has a lot of good things. What I like is that it is basically a concept put into a model developed back on Warp Shadow, I guess it was. Because back in the days, there were a couple of people doing a concept called the Baby Fund.
Yes.
Which was supposed to be a small Hierophant.
Yeah.
And when you look at the model, at the current Turvigon model, it basically is a downsized
Hierophant.
Hierophant, yeah. It has the spines, the body shape is completely like that. It has this really long legs, hind legs. It has those scything talon arms that are not scything talons, because if you look at those arms, the only scything talons are the front part. And it has very long arms, and I really like those long parts. And it has this big sack of, you know, growing termagons. Under its belly, and that's that alone, that piece probably inspired a lot of people to use that bit for different things. So that's another thing I really like. What I also like are the back fins, which are really elegant because they are higher than they usually are, and those are, I think that was the first model that had three rows to make it you know, this massive thing. That's for the things I like about. Well,
what would you change?
Would I change? The first thing is, what I don't like is how the Termagons appear from this sac thing, because it is obviously a birthing process that is happening here.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's ripping open this sac.
Yeah.
And that makes it, you know, it looks more like a flesh wound.
Yeah.
Than a birthing process. And I think nature provides us with so many different birthing processes that you don't have to use a human female body part as as a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. But there are creatures eating themselves out of their mother. It happens in nature, actually.
Yes, but it doesn't look like the termagant is eating out itself out of its mother. It looks like, I don't know, some crazy space wolves hacked at the sack with some rending claws.
And they're just exploding out of it.
Wound, yeah, and from that wound, the termagant appears.
You're so right.
You don't have a birthing feel to it.
Do you have...
You know what? I think having a proper birthing exit would be too sexual for Games Workshop.
Yeah, that's what they're afraid of.
That's what I said, that the nature provides different ways of things being birthed than just
Do you have an example, Simon?
Yes. Look at my Tervagon. So what I did, I wanted it to have there's a certain word for that, but when you look at grasshoppers laying eggs,
it's called an ovipositor.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
So that doesn't look like a vagina at all, but I think it delivers, or it visually delivers, the birthing process.
So you had the like ribs opening up and then this ovipositor thing coming down from like kind of the chest area.
And then you had
the sac on the back of the Tervagon.
The hands growing into the sac.
Hands growing into the sac.
Yes.
Yeah.
There we go. Got those hands gripping the sac, massaging the eggs through.
So the idea would be if as long as the beast is walking around, not spawning anything, the sac should be protected, and the exit point of the termagant should be protected.
Yeah.
So while this thing would be walking around, the ovipositor would go back into the chest, being protected, and the eggs are protected by this front shield.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's one of the main criticisms I have on the Tervagon model, and the other one is the mid set of legs it has. It is what we did with the baby fund back then.
This set with the walking, hands? Or with the...
Yeah, it is walking on its scything talons. And there's no way, and there's no physical explanation why this should work.
Is it walking on its scything talons, or is it walking on that central set of legs that have like a kind of claw on the end?
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter. If you look at the Hierophant, or if you look at the Tervagon, this is not walking. Those scything talons will sink into the earth, and it will be stuck there forever.
Yeah,
for it not to move, because you cannot. It can jump from rock to rock, maybe stippling on those stilettos around. But these are no proper legs to walk on.
You know what? I can imagine the Haridan already. Damn, the Tervagon called again, stuck again. I have to lift it out every second day.
I was going to say, you mentioned the baby fant. I pulled up your baby fant.
Yeah, if I could change something, I would change the way it walks.
But your baby fant is knife walking, isn't it? Oh, you mean change your version?
Yes, I would change mine because I don't like that.
That it's walking on its talons.
Yes.
Yeah, well, makes sense.
We can totally understand where the imagery is coming from, that the Tyranids should be some sort of insectoid insect, yes. But when you look at, you know, spider feet or ant feet, they still have those little feet. They're not walking on sticks.
Yeah.
We have trouble imagining how it works on the battlefield. If I remember the rules correctly, it can spawn something like 10, 20, 30 Termagants.
Yes.
Not as with the Space Marine Rhino. It looks as if maybe 5, 6, 7 could fit inside, but not 20, 30 just doesn't work for me.
So at the end of your movement phase, a Turbogon can spawn Termagants, even if it's locked in combat. If it does so, roll 3d6, so 18.
3d6? Whoa.
Yeah, this is the number of models spawned.
Even more.
I don't know if this is an old codex. I don't play the game.
Yeah, whatever.
yeah, so it doesn't look like 18 Termagants are going to fit inside that thing.
Yep, that's right.
But you also don't want to have like a big walking sack with some legs on it, but I don't know.
Yeah, but for me, just for accepting this model as plausible, it's not that I want to overthink it, but I would just always see the model and think, no, it doesn't work for me.
I like Simon's note about the head being unique, but I am noticing that the tail here is just a tail. Like, they didn't take any... There's an option to do something cool with the tail here, but I don't know what that would be, but it was not.
I actually never noticed the resemblance to the baby found, but Simon's absolutely
That's
right.
A really good observation. Yeah. So next, let's go back to Marco. What do you want to talk about next? We talked about Simon's Odonata, so do you want to talk about maybe the Harpy, the Hive Crone?
Yes. No. Yes. Yes. I think this one is going to be fairly short.
Okay. Yeah.
Because we already picked up most of the points I would have said as well. First point, it looks fat.
Yeah.
It looks like a big fat Carnifex.
Yeah.
And it's a big fat hat on top. And in contrast to what Simon did, it isn't streamlined at all.
Yeah.
Not at all. This stupid cannon sticking out underneath like some irons for flattening stuff. The weird spikes sit on top of the carapace. It's just
I really like the spikes. I think they're interesting. I think they're different. Okay. I think it breaks up the standard. Saying everything's a giant termagant. It doesn't look like a termagant. Right. It doesn't. Well, I guess they could be like arrow. I don't know. What are those things that planes have?
Put those on your Harris specs and they would fit.
It's just not streamlined. It just doesn't look fast and it's just another lame ass dragon. We've seen so many dragons in all the games and books and movies over the years. But Tyranids, I don't want to see another dragon. I want to see something crazy flying, something alien, something that makes you go, woo, what is that for a kind of beast?
Something like this?
Exactly. Thank you. This one is disturbing. If you remember the old Tyranid fleets, space fleets,
They
all used to have some kind of aquatic feel, like being squid types with big shells or fins on the side. And there used to be an amalgamation of aquatic creatures. I would really prefer the Tyranid range to be more diverse, have more options, and just do something disturbing like this one, and not just another dragon, which is fat and has a big hat.
One thing that I wanted to ask you, so that was the Harpy, and then what about the Hive Crone? Do you feel like the Hive Crone's a little better?
Yes, I do. I think it has some redeeming qualities which are really nice, actually. And the aquatic theme is directly picked up here, because if you look at the bombs under the wings.
I love those. I want 1,000 of those. I want to just buy this kit and throw out everything else and keep those bombs.
First off, they're perfectly designed. The design is perfect. Number two, they're remoras, which sit on sharks and all the big aquatic beasts.
Yeah.
And making these sentient bombs is just perfect thinking and great design, and they look good too.
Yeah. Ace. And it's got, there you go, when you're revising the Exocrine, Marco, you buy one of these and you take its arms, because it's got those arms massaging the ammo sacks.
Good idea.
Feeding into the body.
Good idea. And exactly, point number two is, the flamer mouth looks really good for me.
Yeah.
And having the ammo tanks grow into the rib cage and come out through the mouth is exactly what I like about Tyranid weapons being creepy, disturbing.
And it's on the central line. So you'd think that if this thing was flying at someone, it just has to aim itself at someone and then just spew its attack straight out. It doesn't have to target with these guns that are on arms.
Exactly. And last but not least, the tip of the tail.
Beautiful. I love that thing.
It's great. It's looks really okay. This one can cut people in half.
Yeah. We're talking about flying Tyranids, how do you feel about the Herodan in the Forge World Herodan? And because we have a picture here where it shows the Hive Crone beneath and it shows the Herodan above. It does look like a dragon, like you were saying, but
it's more streamlined.
Yeah.
It has a big belly, but it's way more streamlined.
Yeah.
And it's also not as streamlined into the Tyranid range as the current stuff, so the face is more interesting for me.
You're right. Yeah. Face split jaw.
face is so toothy and different. I really like it.
Does it have eyes?
It doesn't have eyes, exactly. Okay. There are no eyes.
It does, but it has multiples, doesn't it? It has these...
Isn't Marco the only one with this model? Shouldn't we
can guess. We can guess. I don't know. I think it doesn't have eyes, but it might be that there are multiple eyes. Not quite sure about it.
But you're right. The head looks very different. It's still clearly a Tyranid, but it looks like this creature has a different head.
And it looks good. It doesn't look like it's from a comic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just like in contrast to the Hive Crown and the especially the Harpy. What I don't like about it is, I mean, those big ass biocannons.
On the wingtips?
When they're flapping. So it really has problems aiming at something.
Well, I guess if it's like diving, like if you think about a bird, it's flapping, and then it dives. That if a bird was diving, I think it would point its wings at what it's diving at. So maybe that does work.
You know what? I had the same discussion yesterday with my girlfriend.
Yeah.
When we were observing a falcon in the field.
Yeah.
She had said the same thing that you said. So I think the conclusion is, if it only attacks ground targets, then it's
true.
Okay.
Yeah, if it's attacking air targets, it would be difficult to... The thing I'm not crazy about on the Herodan is its talons.
Exactly.
Like Simon pointed out with the Orinata, his talons were pointed forward. So if it's like dive bombing you, it can scoop the talons underneath and hit
you. Same, absolutely. And the
talons are pointed back, which...
Just imagine how this one would try to hit anything with those talons.
Yeah, because they're really, like, it's only going to attack behind and above.
It's nearly impossible to hit anything
backwards.
At all.
It looks like they were assembled wrong. Maybe they actually designed it the other way and someone assembled it wrong. Because if they were flipped around, if you reverse the sides, perfect.
What I love about the Herodan are the gargoyle clusters clinging to it. That's so cool.
Perfect. The wings are good too. I think the wings with the grown out hands are looking good, working for me too. And having the wings grow from two limbs is also pretty believable.
That is, I didn't, you know, I only noticed now that they're grown from two limbs. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Nice. Any other points on the Herodan or the Harpy or the Hive Crone? I think there's a lot of cool bits here. I want to buy this kit and just like rip it apart to take all the cool bits. But if I had to build it stock, I would build a Hive Crone, not a Harpy. But even then, I'm not crazy.
If I may have one last thing on the Hive Crone is the thing we're looking at right now.
I think
right?
So. Yeah, it's the one that has the Remora drones under it and has the gun in its mouth.
Yes. When you look at the back carapace, that's clever thinking, design wise, because you can see the one in the middle are still the back chimneys there.
The like spore cysts or whatever the heck they're called, spore chimneys.
Yes, but the ones on the left and the right side are replaced by holes.
Yeah.
And it makes me curious to wonder what those holes are about. And maybe those are supposed to have a certain effect.
Oh, maybe.
It actually supports the kind of... It makes me think of bones from birds who are brittle and full of tubes to make it lighter.
Oh,
and
that,
you know... That kind of makes me think of that.
Interesting.
Because the harpy's got the spikes, but it doesn't, it has, it looks like the chimneys are not on the harpy. Oh, is the Hive Crown the one that drops spore mines? Is that the thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really need to play these. Who cares? All right. Next, Simon.
Yes.
You had mentioned that you wanted to talk about Raveners. Why don't you talk about those?
Yeah. So what do I like about the kit? I like about the kit that it made an easy conversion for a Warrior Prime when there wasn't a kit around, because you could easily stick simply a big torso on the Warrior and you would be good.
Yeah.
What I also like about the kit that it ventured weapon-wise a different angle. It was the first torso weapons. That appeared, sadly.
I think they were called thorax weapons.
Yes, thorax weapons. A concept that never has been followed up.
Yeah.
We all know that flash hooks used to be a thing, which appeared to have disappeared. They looked goofy, no way, no question. But they were, you know, as a concept, they were pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I really liked that they used this thorax weapon idea. And what I also like about the revenues is the different shape of the sighting talons that they made them wider to make them dig through things.
Yes.
What I think they did also pretty well is, although having this fairly little base to put the models on, to make them dynamic.
Yeah.
As Marco has, you know, has made this massive base for his Trigon, but they sort of follow up on the snake thing. Well, this is the most boring pose you can give them. On the very first picture, you can see four very dynamic forward going pictures, poses. And what I don't like about them, or what I think is not working for me, is the burrowing aspect. I cannot see them dig through earth for the life of me.
Yeah.
The scything talons are so big and chunky, and I cannot see that they're digging with that.
Yeah, they stick out away from the body and stuff.
I try to not to criticize, but to show that I have a different approach to that. And I used on those, like, they have everything pretty close to their body. So
we're just, in case people, I haven't been doing this, so it's probably going to be horrible, but in case people are listening to this and not watching the video, we're just looking at some pictures of kind of Trigon conversions that Simon had done previously. You call these Morgons?
Yeah, well, there used to be two different types of Trigons rule-wise.
Yeah, Moloch that was, and Trigon.
Yeah, the Trigon would burrow up and...
It's the Morlock.
Morlock.
Yeah.
Okay. So these are Morlocks.
Yeah, so the more burrowing one that would, like, eat you. That was, like, the attack that the Morlock had. It would come up from beneath and eat you.
Yeah,
so you did your own versions of them using, it looks like, Trigon tails. And are those Carnifex torsos, or are those Trigon torsos?
No, those are... I think those are basically Trigons.
Okay, but they have Carnifex heads, but you've modified the mouths, and you're using the stumpier Trigon talons on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. So you converted these
to get all the extremities as close to the body as possible, for them to have the smallest hole possible to squeeze through.
Yeah.
And when you look at the Reveners, what kind of hole do they need to dig to fit through?
yeah so. Also, you didn't ask me to pull it, but I pulled up some of these, which are your sculpts that you did. You did a scratch sculpt on kind of a Ravener creature that was inspired by Marco's love of bobbit worms, which are real aquatic creatures that exist on Earth. And I wanted to pull these up because these are Ravener-like creatures, in that they're snakes and they look like they burrow and they emerge. But again, you've got the idea of the limbs are smaller, they're close to the body, and the way they're aligned, you have them kind of aligned around the mouth of these things, which is just like a mouthful of teeth. It looks more capable of burrowing through dirt in the alignment you have it.
Yeah. Thanks. Yes, that was the goal. So basically, Revenants look like warriors with tails.
Yeah.
Would have been my last question. Why do the Revenants need to have warrior heads, basically, with mandibles on top? Why the warrior carapace? It just makes both of them less unique.
I think I agree with Simon's points that the Ravener could have just been a warrior with a tail added. That if they wanted to make this kit simply, they could have taken the plastic warrior kit, they could have put a tail in it and just been like, you're done. I'm glad that they made changes to it, that it looks like they kind of updated the warriors through this kit, and those things are cool. I love the points that Simon made, that this is fodder for making Tyranid Primes. Both, you can use the tail as like a larger lower torso on something like a Tyranid Prime, and the chest pieces are much larger. But you're right, Marco, that they don't need warrior head crests. Like, I don't think these things provide synapse, so that's not like a reason to be like, oh, they're like warriors. And I would love it more if the head just blended right into the body.
I think this is a very good example where we have the creatures all looking too similar to each other.
Yeah.
The burrowing horror from beneath would have been a nice theme to go for a worm creature that would have been different and scary and alien, and not just the next one mouth, some teeth, a tongue, two eyes.
Yeah.
No same thing.
Yep. Next one I wanted to talk about was the mouse scepter.
Sorry, I always have to laugh.
Oh my god, really? As we noted before, the Fisher-Price Tyranid. I mentioned before that I think that with the mouse scepter that it's everything is. This is something I've noticed with the Tyrant Guard, and I know, Marco, you wanted to talk about the Tyrant Guard, but I hadn't bought a Tyrant Guard kit for a long time, and then I bought one, and I looked at it, and I was blown away by how low detail the weapons are.
Interesting.
Like, they look like really old Tyranid plastics, because there's no detail on them. Everything's, like, smooth and clean, and I feel that with the Mouse Scepter, that it's just these... It's cool. Like, there's cool elements in here, but I feel like they're not executed very well. Everything looks very like they sculpted this for a smaller scale and then they just expanded it. Like they just stretched it and printed it at a larger scale. Also the case that this thing is supposed to be a psychic Tyranid, and everything we've seen from Zonthropes is that psychic Tyranids just float under their own power. They don't need to be walking around on a big kind of quadrupedal frame. I think the quadrupedal frame is cool and you could use it for something else, but I don't like it for a psychic Tyranid. Like if I were to take this and I were to modify it, I think I would just strip off all the arms and the legs and I would just have this thing floating around.
Yeah.
And then maybe steal some of the tentacles from the Toxicrine and make it into more like a big floaty head with weird tentacles.
Absolutely.
Creature.
Absolutely.
I like the head, although I feel like the head carapace doesn't look Tyranid enough. It looks too, I don't know. It doesn't look angular enough. It looks too flat.
Yeah.
It looks like cool. Weirdly glued on.
Yeah.
Like a bad kid bash.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So, and I don't know why, but I like the weird spinal column that arcs from like the tail section to the head section. I don't understand why it's there.
Whatever that's for, but it's cool.
I like it. The tail, we talked about like happy dog tails.
Yes.
This is a happy dog tail. I don't know, something like the tail's
no, that's a,
kind
that's
of okay.
A sad dog tail.
Okay.
It goes down.
It's a scared dog. This dog is afraid.
Okay. He's afraid of your giant Tyranid killing titan.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I think there's a lot that can be saved in this kit, but I don't like it in this permutation.
Look at the hip. How badly sculpted and badly painted does this one look?
The hip?
The connecting part between the two sides.
Oh, yeah. Like you mean
looks
like the
blob,
waist kind of?
Blob. Yeah, the waist. Sorry, I was referring to the waist. Just like a blob of plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It looks like the kind of thing that you'd see on a Carnifex, but just blown up. So yeah, I feel like this kit could be a lot more than it is. And it looks, especially like the other version, the Toxicrine, the tentacles just look boring. Like the tips are okay, but like especially the tentacle mouth on the Toxicrine, it's just these long, straight,
Yeah.
things without any texture.
But
it's not.
When you look
list.
At the Haruspex, no, the big frog thing.
Haruspex.
That has some really gribbly mouth parts where everything seems to be moving in a different direction.
Yeah.
And when you look at the Toxicrine, it's this straightforward that doesn't work.
Yeah.
It's boring.
Yeah.
You know what? This creature, the whole pack of the two creatures, feels to me not as if someone in the studio had a strong design idea and thought, well, this is an idea I had for a Tyranid creature. We should really make this stuff up. It's a good idea. This feels to me like someone said, oh, we have a production slot for a new Tyranid creature. Make something up. It just doesn't feel inspired. It just feels like somebody has to slap together something.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I'll grab the Toxicrine. I feel like the Toxicrine is slightly better.
Yeah, it is.
But only slightly.
It's a very forgiving concept. Lots of tentacles.
Yeah, but I think I argued before that this model was built to sell figure cases. Because how could you transport this in anything with those tentacles flying everywhere?
Absolutely.
And like,
I saw a conversion on the net, I don't know where someone just used it like a Zonthrope as a flyer. Just remove the body altogether and just have the main body that had the tentacles flying around, which is much better, I think.
You know what? We were talking before about how why do I keep wanting to call it a Cerevor? What is that? The Mouse Scepter had these weird human brains. The things on the toxicrine here, I think they're supposed to be like spore sacs, but to me, these look more like an alien brain than what's on the mouse scepter.
And what I find really weird is that when you look at the back carapace around those spore sac, whatever things, that's a total break in the very unified design for tuna carapaces, because suddenly there's all sorts of weird things going on where you suddenly, you know, is that part of the body or is that part of the carapace? I would be unsure how to paint that.
Yeah, because here it's painted like it's a piece of carapace, like it's part of the head, but it looks like the head plates, they stop, and then there's this weird big thing with bulges sticking out, but it also has the spore chimneys sticking out the sides, and it's a bit of a mess.
Really, it is. Such a weird design.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a big box of missed opportunity.
All right. Next, we'll go to Marco. Let's talk about...
I'm not even sure what to say about these.
So we're talking about the Tyrant Guard here. You wanted to talk about these models.
First things that I like about them. The knuckle walking hands are great. Really great. We haven't seen too many of these in Tyranids, I think. And they're executed perfectly and great conversion fodder. I like that they present an armored, really armored front. When you see them from the front, you nearly only see armor anymore, which is good. So they themselves, they look armored. Once again, but this is a general problem I have with Tyrant Guard, is I cannot really imagine them guarding a Tyrant. I mean, they are armored themselves, but how do they guard a Tyrant? I don't know. They stand in front of him, but... I would like to see more possibility about how a Tyrant Guard guards a Tyrant. They have closed mouth, which is something. Not many Tyranids have closed mouth.
Without tongue sticking out.
True. Sorry for you. I like the way that the weight is obviously on the front legs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, on the middle legs, which is an interesting shape.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the weapons are kind of cool. I like the crushing claws. And actually, the funny thing is, it's a kit I don't have much negative to say about, but still I'm not really in love and don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Did you want to talk about the Hive Guard?
I prefer these a bit because I prefer the body shape for some reason. I was never too fond of the whole Hive Guard concept, especially because also here they are a pure shooting unit. Why do they don't they have any cool targeting mechanisms on the head? Same thing we discussed on the Exocrine.
Yeah,
but these are really cool. The whole body shape is cool. The guns are cool. The knuckle walking is even better here.
Yeah.
I think these are clearly the superior models in the box.
Yeah.
Which came out great.
Yeah, I would agree. It feels like for the Tyrant Guard, they need to be bigger. Like whenever I've thought about doing Tyrant Guard, I've thought about basically taking a Hive Tyrant legs and then building some kind of torso on top of it so that they can stand at a level. It's bad to say, but the old Tyrant Guard, the third edition ones, with the big like picnic tables on their arms, they were almost better because they were tall and they had the big picnic table that they could like keep between.
Picnic table is great. Yeah.
Because like, this is what we wanted. Back in the day when Warren did those amazing sketches on Warp Shadow about what a Tyrant Guard would look like, he drew these. They need to be taller or something. I don't know.
What I find intriguing with these models are the heads, because we see another break in the design.
Yeah.
They're different because the first plate of the carapace looks like a visor.
Yeah, which is good. Like we say, we want better heads. This is a better head. This is a different head.
Yeah.
I disagree.
You bastard.
Yep.
What are you saying? Tell me more.
It's just the same head with carapace grown over the eyes. That's it. No big difference. It's very impersonal, which is, I guess, what they are.
Yeah, mindless shields. They're meat shields, right?
Yeah. I think what I don't really appreciate is the way the armor plates, especially on the shoulders, get glued. But I can't say why I don't like it. It's all solid design.
It's that thing that we wanted. Like, was it? No. Was it Roberto Cirillo who drew these? Or was it actually Warren who drew these? I can't remember. That thing where like the armor plates would be down and then they would open up.
Ah, yes. I remember, I think it was Warren.
No, he didn't have the...
It was Roberto.
It was Roberto.
Yep.
Yeah. Warren didn't have them, like, turning out.
Ah, there they are. On the left side, Nick.
So I just pulled up Roberto's... Yeah. Oh, God, they're tiny. Roberto's sketches. But you can see that he had that thing where, like, the armor plates would fold out. Yep. And to make a shielded wall. And then he had, like, armor on the... Like, you can see Simon's point about Scything Talons. The Scything Talons really look like they've grown into kind of an armored piece.
Absolutely, yeah.
And he's even got a picture down below of where the two arms with the shields would, like, fold kinda down together and link up.
You used that for your Exocrine, did you?
I did. I ripped that off for the Dactylus, actually.
Okay, and Dactylus.
You look great, and it's such a neat concept.
And that's a really cool concept that I should rip off again.
What do you think about the guards?
I want to make them bigger. I want to make them taller. I want to think of a hive guard or a tyrant guard as being something that is like a baby hive tyrant. Like, I don't think it makes sense to have like a big warrior. I think it makes sense to have a small hive tyrant guarding a hive tyrant. And that could also work in like kind of like the biological fluff that they are something, they're like an off grow from that hive tyrant.
Okay, I see.
What do you think, Simon?
I think the concept, again, is not consequently followed up. I like the approach of these. It reminds me a bit from the whole stance of a American football player.
Yep.
With his big shoulder guards.
Yep.
And I would have loved to see that followed up even more consequently. So we know that Tyranids don't feast on things. They don't need to eat. So why does this thing has a mouth?
Yeah.
It's supposed to run around its swarm tyrant and eating bullets for it. So
yeah.
I can see why it can has weapons, but the weapon arms on this kit get way too much attention. I think the shield arms should have bigger shields.
Yeah.
And for my taste, the whole head could disappear because there's no use for that hat, for that head. So if you're the space marine in front of that, where you're shooting at, you're shooting at the face because then it's dead.
Yeah.
And then the whole armor plates on the shoulder make no difference. And so I think if you follow up the idea of having a shield, it should be a shield and not a, well, sort of a shield.
So you're saying it should be nearly all closed up at the part?
Roberto really nailed this stuff. And he even did like the classic, like, hey, give us a third edition version with the picnic table. And this cool claw. Look at that. This is literally a third edition Tyrant Guard.
It is.
Yeah.
Rending claw, spine fist, and big shield arm.
The rending claw is nice here.
It would be cool to do, you know what, as I think about redoing Tyrant Guard, it would be cool to do like individualized Tyrant Guard. Do three, but don't make them all the same. Do one that has this, one that has like the arms down building the shield in front, and then one that's some other version.
You know what I was just thinking of, maybe because I've been watching Vikings too much lately.
Yeah.
But when you, I don't know if you've seen the series, but this fighting stance they always take on, like they're building the shield wall.
Yeah.
And then they're having those spears like the Spartans as well.
Yeah.
That would be cool if the Tyrant Guards would kind of having the shield and when someone's approaching them, opening up and something.
Yeah.
Like the lands, like pushes out, like, and then shield goes back.
Good idea.
I like it. All right. So we've done that. Okay, I'm gonna do mine, and then it's the Tyranid Tyrannocyte / Mucolid Spore or whatever kit. It's an okay kit, but it's just way too fleshy for me. Back in the day, we had rules for mycetic spores. We had no models. The rules for mycetic spore was it would deep strike. And then it would stay where it was. It couldn't move. Your Tyranids would go out of it. But like a drop pod, it would just sit there and it would have guns on it. And it could shoot some people. That this is supposed to be a Tyranid drop pod that drops through the atmosphere, impacts on the ground, disgorges its Tyranids, and it's done. But for some reason, when they redesigned it and they made this Tyrannocyte thing, I don't know why, but they wanted to make it mobile. So I think the idea is that this thing comes down, it drops a Tyranid, then it floats around shooting people. And I don't buy it. like when you look at the model, there's these awesome armor plates on it and this cool kind of like crown structure at the top. But underneath that is just giant fleshy sacks with random tentacles. And I feel like every one of those carapaces that comes in the kit, and I think there's like five or six of them, that is a beautiful bit. You could take that bit, you could slap that on a Tyranid, and that's like most of the body of a Tyranid, sculpt some ribs under it, you're done. They're beautiful. But there's not enough armor to cover the fleshy sack. So I feel like when this thing starts going through the atmosphere, it's just going to burn up because all that fleshy bits are going to be exposed. But there are some really good bits here. Like I love the carapace pieces with the spore chimneys. I love the weird sarlacc mouth thing at the top of the spore with the chimneys around it and the grasping arms. I just hate the fleshy sack underneath. And
Nick, do you have a problem with your own fleshy sack?
I do. This, every time I look at this, it looks like a distended scrotum and I just don't feel it. But as you guys know, I've got a chip on my shoulder about this because I've messed around with spore mines myself, or with mycetic spores myself, inspired by a concept that I think Navarro came up with on Warp Shadow back in the day, that he first came up with the idea of the way a spore mine would work, and I just kind of went crazy with that, coming up with the idea of this hard chitinous outside layer smashing into the ground, opening up, and then a Tyranid pops up. So I would love to take this spore and modify it to make it into like something that just rams into the ground and stays there, big armored thing, it becomes part of the terrain, and then maybe it craps out a little something that floats around and shoots people.
I totally understand where the model leaves you, because I think that's a fucking amazing model. I just love it. Mm-hmm. Because it's something completely different, and it is the envisionment. Well, think about walking down the street and seeing that floating around.
Yeah, terrifying.
That's pure horror. That you don't have a head to look at, you don't have arms to look at, you don't, well, it's completely something different. Yes, it looks like a big egg. Mm-hmm. But especially the model that has those carapace pieces folded open like it's some weird alien umbrella thing.
Yeah.
That's such a cool, amazing design. But I can totally understand there's no way this thing is falling from space onto Earth or the planet and suddenly becoming alive there. But having these floating around, like mopping up as Tyranids work, they all come in waves, and this looks like a last wave or almost second last wave creature.
Yeah.
That when the big fighting is done, this simply floats around looking for civilians hiding somewhere and killing them off.
Yeah.
You know, I just said I had a great idea. I'm completely with you, Simon, and with you, Nick, too, because I think, Nick, your design is more elegant and more believable, of course. But I think this is a Turvigon.
Yeah.
And this is a more,
and that's where it's born. That's where it shoots at its...
Elegant Turvigon, not just a lizard Turvigon.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah.
If you forget about the part that it's dropping from space onto a planet...
Yes.
It works perfectly.
Yeah, I think that my problem with this model is that, as you say, Simon, this is an amazing model, not for its purpose.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many weird, cool bits in here. And as you said, this is not just another weird gaunt head shoved onto something. It's something of its own. And it looks like a hive structure. It looks like a piece of Tyranid terrain. But it's just the dropping through the atmosphere didn't work for me. And also the fact that drops through the atmosphere, shits out a Tyranid, and then floats around and does stuff. It's like, just accept that it's disposable.
And I mean, it's straight from Lovecraft.
Yeah. Someone, there was someone on, oh God, can I remember? Instagram, who used this exact model to
for
create...
For Galida?
For Galida. Magos... Oh, God, I had him.
I'm actually pretty sad this model needs guns. I think it would be better if it had no guns.
Yeah.
It's... When you see the Death Spitters out there, you could take them for exhaust, but when you see the Venom Cannons, they're
it's very clearly guns.
Out of place.
Yeah, there was someone, his name is Magos Boer. I can never pronounce it right. He was the guy who started Gelida, the Gelida project, and he used the tyrannocyte or whatever, the extra spore mine thing, I think this thing, to make this horrible demon out of it. And for some reason, his Instagram refuses to load right now, but it was terrifying. And what he wanted to make was a demon that wasn't obviously a chaos demon, that it was just something else, something horrifying. And he did a very good job on it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It worked perfectly for that.
Do you remember the old ancient 40K creatures which used to control mines?
Oh, mine slayers or mine enslavers?
I don't know.
I think they were called enslavers.
Yes, enslavers.
Yeah.
Someone on Dhaka made an enslaver army totally made of these spore mines.
That would be amazing. I fantasize about making an enslaver army. Marco, are you wearing your green underpants?
Whoa. Wow, that's horrible.
So this is what Magos Boer did with the... And even this is amazing. Look at that. He took the tiny spore that comes with the tyrannocyte. He put some like human arms on it and painted it in horrible colors and embraced the tentacles. Put an extra little face in there for added horror.
Really good stuff.
So I don't know if you're familiar with this project, Marco, but the idea here was Gelida is a world that even the chaos gods have forsaken. That it's this frozen hellscape where people can barely stay alive. And it was a narrative campaign. Look at this horrific stuff. Wow. It was a narrative campaign for Ink 28. And at the end of it, what they discovered was this thing.
Wow.
Horrific. The only demon that cared about people on this godforsaken planet.
Amazing. Great stuff.
Yeah. So that shows how much potential there is in this model.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the fact that you get both of these weird spores with it, it's a great model. It just, for me, it doesn't work for what it's doing, or it's meant to be doing.
Could be a Turvigon.
Could be a Turvigon. All right. Or just
some kind of biometer refueling station, you know?
Yeah, like a piece of Tyranid terrain.
Tyranids don't eat. Simon just said that.
Yeah.
How about a biometer refueling station to fuel your Tyranids?
Yeah.
Just like a gas station, which comes from the invasion to fuel up your invasion force.
Mobile gas station. All right, I think we should skip to the pièce de résistance. Simon, lay it on us.
Fuck.
The next thing we'll be talking about is the I don't even know how to pronounce this. Dimacheron? It's the most recent Forge World Tyranid that they released.
Dimacheron.
There you go, Dimacheron.
Yes.
Do you have an idea who sculpted that?
I don't, but I know the description is that Dimacheron appears to have evolved for a singular purpose, to slaughter those identified among their prey as leaders in the midst of battle, spreading terror and dismay among the ranks of all who resist the hive mind's advance. Bristling with blade arms studded with sickle-like claws, it can slice a fully armored space marine in two and able to leap a Leman Russ battle tank without breaking a stride. When stalking its prey, the Dimacheron dispenses with slow, stealthy approach of the lictor and instead relies on sheer brutality and animalistic rage, leaving a gore-soaked trail of carnage behind it.
It is too sad that we will not know who sculpted that, because I so much hope that Simon Egan is not responsible for this.
He is not. It was Ellie Morrison.
Oh, shit.
Are you sure?
One of both. I'm 90% sure.
How do you know? Because Ellie Morrison makes really weird shit.
Ellie and Trish made all the big monsters for Games Workshop for a long time. And Trish was the big monster specialist. And I'm 90% sure I remember Morrison's name, one of the Morrison's names, when the script was released, and it should be Trish.
This is by far the most fucking horrible, and in a bad, bad way. Not scary, but what were they thinking, Tyranid, I've ever seen? Because there are so many wasted, bad, stupid decisions design-wise made on that. It's amazingly stupid.
Yeah, we don't want to be like completely crapping on Tyranid design. Like with all these creatures that we reviewed, we've tried to talk about like the things we don't like and the things we do like.
Of course.
I don't Every time I've seen this model, I've thought that it was someone's bad conversion.
Yes. This makes no sense. So when you look on the website or wherever you're looking at it, if you're looking at from every angle, this is against every line philosophy Marco has taught us, and Marco knows his Tyranids and knows how to pose Scything Talons and win Golden Demons with that. And this is like the antithesis to that. Those, why does it need to have two Scything Talons on one hand? Because
if one Scything Talon is bad, Simon, two Scything Talons is even worse.
That's right. That's probably what they thought, but it doesn't work. It looks like it's meant to be for gardening.
Two equal rows, digging two equal rows, planting your potatoes.
Yes. There's one thing I like about the model, and that's the tail tip. That looks pretty, like, you don't want to be stung by that because then you're dead.
Yeah, true.
But then there's the end of it. The torso, the carapace of the torso doesn't make sense. It has some sort of a hood.
Yeah.
A pointy hood that's going forward, which there's no psychic use to that hood. There's no protective use for that hood. It has even small chimneys on top of the
hood. Oh god, those little chimneys on top. That's bad.
Like what, like, is it thinking too hard and needs more ventilation for its brain? I don't know. Then you have the I love the concept of an opening torso. I've ventured very down that road. I have four Carnifexes with open torsos, and this one has one as well. But when you look at the thing from the front, it looks like it's a face and a mouth on its own.
Yeah, it's got like these eye things on the side, like the vents, kind of, and then it's got like the teeth.
What's that supposed to be?
Oh god.
Yeah.
And yes, it has hands, but why does it need hands? Because it has these massive gardening tools stuck to his upper arms, so everything will be dead in reach.
Yeah. It's to grab things and shove it into the chest maw.
Yes.
It is. It has a chest maw. For the enemy leader, he needs to be eaten on the chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. And and then those spindly legs, I think it looks like tipping over, and it looks like if you blow it too hard, it falls apart like a stick man. So there's absolutely nothing menacing about it. There's nothing scary about it. And it could have been. And I think that's what makes me so sad, is that there are so many wasted possibilities in this. Yeah. Like this opening torso thing can be so creepy, can be so giving you the creeps, but this... it's on this model and it doesn't make sense here.
Again, Simon, they stole your idea, but they just, it didn't. And it doesn't look like it's like segmented. It just looks like it just,
blah.
It really saddens me that the idea they stole from me is on that shitty model.
I think that the head is salvageable. The head is interesting and it's different. It's gaunty, but not. It's,
no, the head is a big high tyrant head.
It's like too cartoonish.
Yeah, the whole thing is too cartoonish.
Actually, there's something that I like about it. I'm a big fan of the flesh hooks under the arms.
Those weird tentacle things coming out? They're coming from the wrists, I think.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
You know,
I did the same a couple of times actually on quite a few models, and I like the ideas, like Spider-Man, only for pulling your prey to you.
Yes, best seen in Skyline.
Yeah.
True, absolutely.
On that note, I have those flesh hooks. I got like this combination of Tyranid bits from someone, like in a random bag, and it had these in it, and I literally looked at them, and I'm like, what weird third-party model line is this from? Like, I didn't know that it was from this model.
Funny.
I was like, this is not Tyranid. What is this junk? But...
And what saddens me most is that this is a conversion so easily to be repeated, and I've seen people doing that on Instagram, like, oh look, I'm making a big bad Tyranid, and it has two Scything Talons on one hand. Yes, make it three, make it five, make a star of it. Umbrellas.
Once again, the only interesting design thing about this beast is the opening ribcage. Everything else is just a walking monster. Nothing special.
The thing is that, like, those legs are very nice legs, but they're too long, they're too spindly for this, they shouldn't be upright. As Simon said, the tail tip is an amazing tail tip. Even, I think, the weird hood, I think that hood could be better on a different Tyranid that's built to have some kind of, like, spine because it's supposed to, like, ram its face into you. Like, I think there's so many good elements here, but they just slam them all together on a model and...
I have once again the impression someone said we need a big Tyranid creature, slap something together.
Yeah,
just as we had with the other kid, it just doesn't feel inspired. It just feels like, oh, we need to sell some big Tyranid soon. Who can make one? You make a big Tyranid. In contrast to someone having a great, like, all the Roberto stuff is inspired.
Yeah,
but Roberto drew is everything is like he really was heart and soul into thinking how these creatures would be cool and coherent and work and all the stuff.
Yeah.
And this is pretty much the opposite. It's just someone who has to slap together a big rubber monster.
It saddens me for every hour of work someone so talented put into that model, because making a model like that is such an art.
Yes.
And
yeah.
And it looks like someone was forced to use his art form for something he doesn't like.
Yes. The other thing that I noticed, when you look at it, neither one of its feet are on the ground.
Why?
They're both on weird rocks.
Why? Like,
I think that's indicative of something.
Of what?
Of the fact that you didn't think about it properly, you didn't plan it properly. Like, you can't even have the thing stand. It has to, like...
Yes, probably.
Oh, you're right.
Or maybe it had a scenic base, but they cut out the rest of the base and they just left these parts. I don't know.
Totally weird.
Or maybe it's afraid of water.
Hold on. You said that people on Instagram have done a good job. I really like this version of it. This was done by Vertikill, who was an old Warp Shadow guy. He used to go by Pekel. It's still got the weird kind of legs, but look at the scything talons. Like, that's how you put two scything talons on an arm.
Much better.
And it's good. And, like, it's got kind of the open chest, but it looks more tentacly. Its secondary arms look more interesting to me. The kind of, like, weird, like, hands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Those hind legs could work if the mid limbs would support the walking in some way.
Yeah.
But this way, it just looks like falling over and stumbling over the battlefield.
And I love what Pekel was doing. He has done so many great creatures. And I'm really a big fan of his work. But in this pose... This creature, please stay with the picture.
I'm trying to find if there's more. Oh no, okay, yes. You just got the one picture.
From this pose, he really looks like he has a bad back. Like, I can't get straight. I don't know.
He is recreating that monstrosity. So you need to have a little, you're not going to know this is a Dimacheron if it's like standing very nicely.
that's right, Marco. You want to pass this Dimacheron a walking crane.
Yeah. Yeah.
You seriously look like in pain. Here, have some relief.
All right. Well, now that we've finished giving our reviews of these models. Oh, wait. There was one more thing. Sorry. The other day when I was pulling together all my photos for this, I came across this in my inspiration folder. And this was by someone named Bob on. Warp Shadow, and he came up with this thing called the Strider. And I think this is like a real cool, much cooler version. He's got the opening rib cage.
Mm-hmm.
He's got like the long back legs, but they look useful.
Yep.
Anyway.
And the face on the ground looks totally beastly.
Yeah.
He just doesn't look straight ahead. Like all the Tyranids, they all have 90 degree, look straight ahead angle with a big grin. This one looks like a beast.
Yeah, it looks like it's like stalking.
Exactly.
That's right.
Anyway. That's a little diversion. All right, so now that we've finished the review of Tyranid Design, now comes the special part of the episode that you guys were not aware of. Each of us is going to take one of the three things that we said we were not happy with, and we're going to do it ourselves. We're going to revise it and make a good version of it. Don't worry, Simon, who doesn't play Tyranids. You're not going to have to buy them for yourself. Father Money Pants here and little brother Money Pants are going to fund your expedition. But to make this really interesting, you don't get to choose which model you get to do. The other two people get to choose which model you get to do.
What a great idea, you asshole.
Awesome.
Okay, so Marco, we're going to choose yours first. So Simon and I are going to decide. You don't get any say in it. So Simon, we have the Exocrine to choose from, the Harpy or the Hive Crone or Tyrant Guard. Which one do we want to stick Marco with? I'm leaning towards the Exocrine because the man is obsessed with gun beasts.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Hive Crone would be more challenging. Tyrant Guard, too easy.
I think we should make it, keep it doable, mm-hmm. because the Hive Crone is, although I would love to supply Marco with all those fancy bits in there, like those small bombs and things, I think it's a really tough job to turn this into something believable. Mm-hmm. And I think what was the other one?
Exocrine, Tyrant Guard, or Harpy Hive Crone?
Exocrine. Where is the Exocrine? Exocrine. I think the Exocrine is something you can do, which is doable. I think I already have ideas in my head, and I think Marco will have as well, where to cut open the carapace, where to put the big sags and the hands and stuff like that.
Okay. All right, so let's assign him the Exocrine. All right. Sounds good.
No.
Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Marco, you're converting an Exocrine. Good luck.
I would have so liked to do the Hive Crone. Damn. Okay.
Well, you can do that too, but that's your choice.
Yes, of course I can. Exocrine
right.
It is. Okay.
Who do we do next?
I have to do differently than you did before. So I have to come
yes.
up with some new ideas.
Challenging.
Challenge. Okay. Next, you guys want to do me or should we do Simon?
I don't mind.
You inflicted the pain on us. You should be last.
Okay, so let's go. Marco, what are we assigning to Simon? Do we even have to talk about it? Or do we know what it is?
So let's repeat just for drama's sake.
Yes. Okay, so the options for Simon are the Raveners, which, let's be honest, he's already done. The Turvagon, which, let's be honest, he's already done. Or the Dimacheron, which he's did an opening chest carapace, but not really. And he
it's
does.
Obvious.
It's
it
obvious.
Is obvious. And the way he was shitting on the model, he really deserves it.
Congratulations, Simon. You are soon to be the proud owner of a Forge World Dimacheron.
No, please.
Oh my God.
Please.
124 euros. Marco, we might have to split it. I don't know if I can afford all of that.
Simon,
can I say something?
Yeah.
I will build that beast, but I will not use that kit because that's a waste of money.
No.
Waste
you have
of
to,
effort.
No, you have to fix the kit. You have to fix the kit. We are buying you the kit. You have to use that kit. You can add pieces to it. We're not letting you convert it from something else.
But what if I only keep the tail?
No. You got to use it. You have to use it. You have to use the whole thing. You have to fix it. You have to fix it, Simon.
The
exact reaction I was hoping for. Exactly.
And I honestly would like to see you walk over water, please, because it's afraid of water.
You gotta put some resin on the base, but you have to make it look good. You can't make it go, ooh, and then just put some resin on the base and be done. Oh man, it was worth it. That reaction was worth it.
There's so much cutting.
Yeah, you turned a hair duel into a dominatrix. You can do anything.
There shall be lots of cutting.
Hopefully the model, not you, out of frustration.
Me and my big mouth, right?
Yeah.
Fuck.
All right. So what do you guys want to assign to me?
Let's review options for drama's sake, please.
The options are the Hera Specs, big gribbly monster, the Mal Scepter, which is the Fisher-Price monster with the brains, and the Tyrannocyte, the spore mine. Talk amongst yourselves.
Well, Simon, I think the biggest challenge obviously would be to make anything out of the shitty Mal Scepter. So if you want to punish Nick with something that would be really tough to make cool, I think this would be it.
You know why? I'm not. No. Sorry.
Shit! I'm sweating.
Because I will tell you why. If you look at the Mal Scepter, it's so easy. He already came up with ideas of how to turn that good. You just dump the body, take the big part, and turn it into floating.
That's true. Right. Thing. That's what he said. Yeah.
That's what he said. He already has ideas for that. And the and he's the pro of desluggification and doing big gun beasts, right? So it would be like treating him with something he already does and he already likes. But I think giving him the big floaty ball and turning that into a believable dropping from space, surviving the burn, delivering Tyranids, and then floating around shooting things.
Truth is, I would like to see that model. That is what I would like to see, definitely.
Okay. I thought that one would be easy, but now I'm not so sure anymore.
Option number three.
I know. Well, that was...
Option number three would be, we have the Mal Scepter, the drop pod, and number three was...
Haruspex.
Yeah. Haruspex, he said this should be fast. Hmm. Yeah. Also seems very doable for me with the Horus specs. Doesn't need to be changed too much. I think it has to be the drop pod.
Yep.
All right, I'm buying a drop pod.
Yeah,
congratulations, fun. Jones. You're getting a big ball.
All right, well, I think that it's very late in Germany right now. Thank you for taking the time. You have your challenges. Maybe we should cut this off right here.
Damnation. Curse you. Curse us.
I'm so glad I was able to surprise you with the... The surprise at the end.
Oh, yes, you did. And
I have to think about this long and hard.
Yes.
That's the thing. You have to use the model. Do we want to set up the rules? You can add to it, but you have to use the model.
Can I remove parts from the model?
No. You can sculpt additional.
You can't.
But how do I fix the scything talons? I just want to rip off.
Move them around. Find a different configuration.
That shit is tough.
You're talking, Jones. You're talking. You and your big ball. I want to see you move around things and make it believable dropping from space.
I got Simon, some ideas.
But Simon, his big ball is not afraid of water.
That's right.
This is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, fixing a flawed design is like, nah.
It's going to be good, though. This is what we did.
It's going to be
great. Years, this is what we did.
It's an awesome idea, Nick. It's an awesome idea. I think everyone is just... I think Simon is cursing his fate right now.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about, damn, you made these things so awesome. How can I try it in a different way?
Ah, you got it. You're so obsessed with Gun Beast, you'll be fine. Thank you both so much for coming on and walking into the trap. And then what we'll do is we'll do another episode where we talk, we do the thing and we do our versions of it. And then we talk about what we did.
Curse you.
Mm-hmm.
It was worth it for Simon's reaction.
You got the funny, big, big, nice conversion. I got Captain Shitface.
We can't wait to see what you do with Captain Shitface. It's going to be amazing. You're going to do it, and everyone's going to be like, there's going to be a run on Dimacarons. Everyone's going to be like, I got to get that fucking kit. I got to do what Hydra did. It's so good.
On any, you know, I would have taken any other kit you guys have. I have ideas for those, but.
You said you wanted to review it, buddy.
That's what makes it so funny. It really does.
I could cry.
Thank you so much for having us and for preparing our session.
Yes.
It was big fun.
Awesome. Indeed. And yes, we will talk again soon and we'll talk about this. But yeah, it's good to have the triumvirate or whatever it is, the triple helix back together.
We have things to discuss.
All right.
I'm dreaming of the one Christmas just like the ones I used to. Now may your day be merry and bright, and may all your Christmas has been white.